three questions that we asked in 2006, 6 months after 150,000 people arrived over and overnight. We built the largest shelter program ever built in American history, and we said, here are three statements people have made about the Katrina experience. Tell me whether you agree or disagree. The Houston community really came together to help the evacuees. 97% agreed. Second question, helping the evacuees put a considerable strain on the Houston community, 74% agreed. Third question, there's been a major increase in violent crime attributed to the Katrina evacuees, 69% agreed. And so we asked, on balance, would you say it was a good thing or a bad thing for Houston? 45% said a bad thing, 32% said a good thing. And then in subsequent years, the percent saying a good thing kept dropping and dropped to just 7% in 2008, and then it's come back in 2009, 2010.
A year or more after, I think that the date of this memo is July 2007. So we're looking at 2 years after. There was this question about whether or not the relocation of evacuees from New Orleans to the Houston metropolitan area that many could not go back to, it was nothing to go back to, that their relocation into multifamily apartment complexes was driving up crime. And so we asked the obvious question, were crime rates going up where evacuees were located? And we looked at zip codes and we looked at actual addresses, and we found that in those areas where there are high concentrations of relocated evacuees, there were in fact higher crime rates. But what we didn't realize was that the crime rates didn't what we call spill over to the residential neighborhood. That is to say, very simply, it was looked like the crime stayed in the apartment complex where the evacuees were, and that the crime reports, police reports, indicated it was often Katrina on Katrina. That is to say, evacuees preying on other evacuees. Some of this was explained in a number of ways, not the least of which is in Houston, which doesn't have very good mass transit and is a car-centric city, it's hard to engage in any criminal activity unless you have a vehicle and you can travel.
And so these were individuals who, prior to coming here, also did not have health, tended not to have health insurance, or tended to be heavily reliant on Medicaid or state children's health insurance programs. That being said, it appeared that the evacuation did make their situation worse. And so there were some issues which people might think of as minor in terms of, for example, diabetics who were not able to get their medications that they needed, or high blood pressure medication because they'd sort of lost access to a regular healthcare provider. But it was also the case that there was it seemed to be an extensive amount of mental health distress because of the evacuation and the entire situation that they were put in, and that these individuals had loss of income and, of course, loss of employment resulting from the evacuation. This survey did take place in waves, so we were able to follow up and survey people who continued to stay in Houston. And what we found in terms of, this is a big stressor to the healthcare system here in Houston. Already we're struggling with about a third of the population without health insurance, and to add more individuals onto that who need appropriate healthcare, who don't have jobs, it's an important situation that got looked over. There were federal subsidies to compensate people to rebuild in New Orleans, and there was compensation for housing, but no compensation to the public health care system here in Houston to cover the additional cost of treating these people.
And so, the study was to look at people who had suffered the event right after the event, were still traumatized. And I ran them through a lot of social science experiments which aim at testing things like levels of cooperation, their willingness to engage in other regarding behavior, and whether they would treat each other fairly and so forth. And what I found was that these folks were very cooperative. They were very willing to watch out for other people they didn't know or weren't related to, and they were willing to share some of the money that they were receiving in my experiments. And you know, they look just like most people ordinarily do. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to do was try and dispel this myth that, that you know, when you get traumatized or, you know, when government collapses or fails, it doesn't mean that people just, you know, start running around and killing each other and so forth. And they don't. And the same was true with, you know, these folks. And these folks were very poor, by and large. They had absolutely nothing that they brought with them. And yet, you know, they were as kind and cooperative and considerate as, you know, anyone else. So I think in that sense, that was the most telling part of the research. And I also think it's, you know, it's a lesson that, you know, we should all consider that, you know, our first response needn't be, you know, send in the army, send in the police, quell looting. You know, maybe our first response ought to be, gee, how do we, you know, rescue people? How do we make sure that their family units and kinship links stay intact, and those sorts of things? So we should attend to the people and not, you know, be concerned about protecting property and so forth, which really isn't that much of a risk.